What's up, what's up? Welcome back to the 29th episode of Cinematic Minds. On this episode, we'll be discussing the 2003 film, Malibu's Most Wanted. We'll also then be taking a deep dive into Taye Diggs' film career. We also have the return of a special guest, Whit Davis, to share his thoughts on the film. So first, our usual quick announcement before we get started. This podcast is a spoiler zone podcast in which we will discuss the entire plot of the film. All right, let's get started. For those of you who have listened to the first 28 episodes, we thank you for returning. For those of you who are listening for the very first time, we hope you enjoy the ride. So sit back and relax. But first, listen to these cool sounds provided by our musical curator, my bruh, DJ Chuck D.
Shut your mouth.
Like no other.
Did it ever occur to you that this might be the way he really is?
No.
This is my sizzle, a rizzle, my nizzle.
Don't be hating.
Jamie Kennedy, Taye Diggs, Anthony Anderson, Blair Underwood, Regina Hall, Damian Dante Wayans, Ryan O'Neal, and Snoop Dogg.
Stuart Little?
Negro, please. You need to just be yourself.
I'm Malibu's most wanted, y'all.
Kid Cop ain't got nothing on me.
Malibu's most wanted.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back. And as we discussed at the top of the episode, today we are discussing Malibu's Most Wanted. This is another film that stars Regina Hall and Malcolm, who's kind of our who's the executive producer, not kind of, is exactly the executive producer of this season. He actually selected this movie. So Malcolm, actually, I was going to kind of tip it off to you first. So if you kind of just tell us, you know, maybe if you remember the first time seeing this movie and what was your first impression and why in particular is it that you wanted us to review this movie?
Yeah, man, it's just a funny ass movie, dude. I like it a lot. I mean, Jamie Kennedy's dope. I thought the shit was just like hella silly. I've seen it a bunch of times. You know, I just like the whole plot of it, honestly. And then, you know, I think it's really rewatchable. I'd watch it with anybody new who hasn't seen it before. I can't remember when I first saw it. I probably saw it just at the crib. I definitely don't think I saw it in theaters, but I remember just being surprised by like all the big name actors that are in it. Like, you know,
yeah, Regina they
Hall,
did.
Obviously,
yeah,
Anthony Anderson, Taye Diggs, and like the black campaign manager. I've just seen that thing in a bunch of shit too.
Oh yeah, Blair Underwood.
Yeah, so. You know, I was surprised about that. And, you know, I think that it moves at a really, really good pace. I think that, and it's got the other Wayans brother in it too. As like the Doug. But yeah, man, I just remember, I always like really enjoyed watching
this movie. The younger Wayans brother.
Right. But yeah, I thought he was funny as shit too. Honestly, I'm surprised he's not in more of the other Wayans Brothers stuff. I don't know if he's just like a lot younger or what. Cause I know y'all be leaving me out of shit because y'all closer in age. So I wonder if that's like the same thing with them. but yeah, man, you know, I love the movie. I'll rewatch it again and again. I'm glad we're able to fit this one into the mix. I don't think it's like in line with you know, a lot of the typical roles that Regina Hall does. I'm glad we kind of were able to have this oddball comedy on our roster. I think it's a good one.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad you selected it. Just my two cents. This is actually my first time seeing it. So it was cool. I won't say I had low expectations, but I did have low expectations. And what did surprise me was, yeah, when I'm like, oh, man, Taye Diggs and Anthony Anderson are in this. So it was a lot funnier than I expected and stuff. And, you know, I just didn't want to take it too seriously. So, yeah, I actually kind of enjoyed it. But I had very, very low expectations, I want to be real, which is why I waited, I don't know, almost 20 years after it came out to watch it. But, yeah, I'm glad you recommend it. And it, again, this was my first time. It was actually Rhonda's first time seeing it, too. Dio, you got any two cents on your first impression? Or what you thought, or you passed?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not. I mean, I don't think it's a good movie. I don't really think that's funny. I like silly movies, but I feel like it's not like, I don't know. It's just Jamie Kennedy's not funny to me.
you didn't like him in Scream?
I liked him actually. Yeah, I liked him in like because he wasn't in the scary movies. He was in Scream. I liked him in Scream, but it was kind of like still like a more dramatic comedy role, but like the Jamie Kennedy experiment's not funny to me. This isn't funny to me. He's not very, I don't know. He's just like kind of a hacky comedian to me. And I think one of the biggest gimmicks that he did inside of the early 2000s was like make fun of like, I guess, wiggers, quote unquote, right? I think that this whole movie is just like the whole plot is like, what, you know, white, black dudes or whatever, or like white guys that act black or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It was like
apparently that's a sore subject for some people.
Yeah, but like I don't know. It was just like very, it was whack. It was just a whack, not funny comedy. I like movies like Don't Be a Menace or whatever, but like, you know, like I don't know. It is what it is. I guess the most surprising part to me is that they did enlist the help of so many, like now, like kind of some of them are like B-list on the verge of A, but like, I mean, Taye Diggs, Anthony.
At that time was huge. Taye Diggs was an A-lister at that time.
Regina Hall in this is like great. But it's just like, I don't know. I'm trying to look up like, were there, like, what was the makeup of it? Because it's just like, they don't, like, it's a movie kind of making fun of a white guy who doesn't really respect black culture, but they don't really, like, it's not like they show any positive examples of black culture in it. You know what I mean? It's like, it feels like the Anthony Anderson and Taye Diggs character play like cowardly black men, right? Then who's the like the mayor's
man? If I want to be super broad about it, I think the target audience would probably be, I mean, like white dudes, people. Yeah, teenage white dudes in the suburbs,
exactly. And so it's like
who watch MTV,
right? Which I mean, yeah, it's like a bro movie for them, and it's like at the end of the movie, he's like a rich white dude who like gets the girl, right? But it's like he literally like,
but he's a culture vulture,
right? He like nobody tells him, hey, like your perception for the past 10 years of black culture is really fucked up. Like, there's never a moment where it's like, dude, this is not right, you're not a good person for doing this. He never has to hold himself accountable for anything, and then he ends up winning at the end and getting the girl. And it's like, and this movie is for white men, so it's like, if anything, this movie just does a great job of instilling in white men that no matter how fucked up you are, you can always come out on top. And then at the same time, it promotes negative stereotypes of black men. So I'm like, how is this movie like, I don't know. It's like, it's honestly a little disappointing, Malcolm, that this is like one of your like, I'm like, this shit is like problematic on so many different levels. But yeah, I mean, you know,
way too seriously.
Like, I was like, I wasn't thinking about
it. Analyzing it, fuck, supposed to be bit and problematic, like.
But it's for white dudes, you know what I mean? So it's like, I guess you got to figure out who the audience
is. It's for anybody who wants to fucking watch the movie. I'm not a white dude. I like this shit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess because I am a filmmaker, I'm always concerned about how my craft is going to be taken by the broader audience, right? So it's like, yeah, you're not you weren't the target audience for this. So you're going to take it away. You're going to take it lighthearted, but like the target audience for it and the predominant people that see it are going to be like, oh yeah, this is like, I can wild the fuck out. I can lean into these negative stereotypes without being held accountable. If this movie was made today, there might've been some intentionality around like examining white privilege and cultural appropriation. But it wasn't made in this time. That wasn't the dialogue this movie was about. So it's just like lazy and potentially dangerous if seen by white bro dudes.
I see a little. Maybe I have like, I don't know, enough of like an understanding of like, or I care enough about like the impact movies will have on society, because like whenever Chloe Bailey or whatever is like the first black Little Mermaid, like I just like don't care. I'm like, who gives a shit if it's the first black Little Mermaid? Oh, it's just like, oh, the black girls have someone on screen that they can relate with. Like, it's a fucking movie. I'm like, I don't know. I guess that's just my whole thought.
I think those are two different things, right? Because I mean, one, it's like there has never been a live action Little Mermaid. So Chloe Bailey's the first human Little Mermaid ever. And yeah, I don't give a fuck about that either, right? There's a difference between shit like content that's going to be put outside of the public that's going to be utilized for like damaging. And then there's like a movie like Little Mermaid where it's just like, yeah, it's a children's movie. Like nobody, the only people that are getting pissed off about the Little Mermaid are white dudes who are like, what the fuck? Or white people that are like, what the fuck? Little Mermaid should be a white person. It's like, yeah, that is weird that you take care of, like, that you concern yourself with that. But I feel like this movie is wholly problematic for a number of reasons, particularly the representation of black people in it. Like, I'm just like, this shit is like, I don't know. It's like, it's infuriating me. I'm like, bro, like, why did you make a movie that's about black culture and then you didn't even respect black people as you made the shit? You created characters that were like shallow. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no, like, and I love movies like Anchorman. I love movies like Don't Be a Menace. You know what I mean? That can like, I don't know, like respect the culture while also being silly. This movie just didn't feel like it respected culture, nor was it funny.
I think there's a coming from being kind of disrespectful of the culture and all that. And I like, think, you know, making fun of it, but not really like paying it justice at all.
But I think there's a middle ground between Malcolm's point and Theo's point, as in, Theo, I think you got some valid points. But I also, to Malcolm's point, is I mean, it is cinema, it is art. But man, at a certain point, you could just kind of be like, really not take it that seriously. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't want to be, it was a different time. You know what I mean? But cause I think there's like, I think, Theo, you do a lot of calling out in a lot of movies that are like, it was a different time. So they'll just kind of like have like a homophobic joke. And like the whole joke, and it's like, I'm not gay, and that's like the whole joke, and it's like, wait, y'all not laughing with the homophobe? I mean, with the gay community, you're kind of making fun of the gay community. And stuff,
exactly, scary movie.
This movie might kind of actually be a parody.
Oh, it's definitely a parody. Yeah,
it's making, like, honestly, I feel like it's a parody of like 8 Mile.
It is. Well, yeah. So it was based off a skit that he did on the Jamie Kennedy experiment. And it was pretty much in that skit he was making. It was 8 Mile. It was Eminem. Eight Mile. It was an 8 Mile skit. And so just like Saturday Night Live will blow out skits and make it movies from the Jamie Kennedy experiment, which was like a MTV Saturday Night Live show. They blew that skit out to this movie. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, it's a parody. I mean, that makes me even feel like, yeah, you really got to take this movie with a grain of salt. Like, it's a fucking parody. They're not going to be like respectful to like anybody.
Well, like Scary Movie. Yeah, like Scary Movie.
It's like, it's just like
the South Park movie. Yeah.
For like fast laugh, like stupid humor. So, and you know, what's funny about that is also that Regina Hall, she was in this movie. And she's like in the club, like as a bystander, like while this, you know, white dude's making a fool of himself on stage as a parody of 8 Mile. And then in Scary Movie 4, she's literally in the club at
watching
do a parody of 8 Mile. So it's like she's like in that same position in like two separate movies.
Yeah, you're right, dude. Yeah. Good call. Hey, well, that's maybe a good point to kind of transition. Is there a specific, and I don't know if that was it, is there a specific scene in particular that you like to call out that was one of your favorite ones? Malcolm?
I'll say my favorite scene, or the one I thought was funny, was when Taye Diggs and Anthony Anderson were practicing being gangsters before they kidnapped B-Rad. Give me a ride, punk, or I'll dust your ass. That shit was cracking me up.
I 100% agree with you. They were cracking me up, dude. And that, I wasn't ready for that.
Funny.
I was like, Taye Diggs is in this? And then I didn't know he was going to be that funny, dude.
Yeah. I love that. Punk, I'll dust your ass. And then, like, Anthony Anderson gets their cornrows and shit. And then, Taye Diggs comes up. He has this little, like, shell braids and stuff like that. And Anthony Anderson doesn't say a word. He just starts cracking up at him. And Taye Diggs was hurt, bro. He was hurt.
Neo, would you ever say that you see a lot of actors like that? Like, it kind of always reminds me of what was the Robert Townsend Hollywood Shuffle, when it's kind of like you got very, like, you know, polished black guys, but the only roles they can get is like gangster stuff. So it's like in real life they're, you know, all Ivy League, but then you see them on in their roles and they all gangster. Do you ever see that sometime in your world?
No, I don't work on gangster shit. So. I'm never casting for those.
You're not the Hughes brothers out here.
Yeah. So I'm like, if a black person comes in to audition for something, it's not going to be a gangster shit. And then it's like, yeah, I mean, that was the part that was kind of annoying too. It was like, and this movie came out maybe a deck 15 years after Hollywood Shuffle. And it's just like, okay, like, all right, we've seen that joke. So since you're not the gangster black dude, who you really are is the exact opposite. You're a corny Ivy League dude. And it's like, there's no in between. So man, it's like, I've seen that character. It's like,
I want to challenge that. It's not as funny though, then, right? Like, it's a joke. It was a parody.
Yeah, I mean, funny. I think that there are ways, like, imagine, I was excited to see Mike Epps in this, right? So, like, I wish that Mike Epps had got to play one of those actors, right? And he just played who he is as Mike Epps. He's a hood dude, but he's not a gangster. You feel me? I feel like he would have been funny if it was like, the fuck is this? Like, reading the script, like, this shit don't sound like me. And then being able to sound like himself, like, I'm going to put my own spin on it. You feel me? Like, something okay. like that.
All
like,
right, good call.
Even
good call.
Kevin Hart, right? In Get Hard, which is another movie that's in the same category. Fuck that movie. But even in Kevin Hart, it's not like, and see, it's like, I'm knowledgeable about this shit. I've seen all the shitty movies. I'm not just coming out of nowhere. I accept a shitty movie, but this is a particular type of shitty movie that I'm like, this shit is problematic on a whole another level. But with Get Hard, even Kevin Hart played Kevin Hart in it, right? So he's not the Ivy League nerd nigga. He's like just a little short, untough dude. But he's still dead. Like,
yeah,
he's
my dad. You know
what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, okay, like, let's find some nuance in who the black guy is now, right? Because I hate that, but like, the three main black actors in it are like cowardly dudes or like evil beyond, like, they're trying, like, the, what's the actor who plays
Blair
like,
Underwood?
Blair Underwood is like, let's kill this nigga. Like, what? Like, what? And then the only, it's like, look, I get even in a comedy though, like, at least have some respect for like character. You feel me? Like, they had no respect for any character. The only respect they gave to any character was Jamie Lee's, Jamie Kennedy's father.
Yeah, he was like very like cool, understanding, wasn't he? He was he's just trying to find his place in the campaign.
You know, and I'm just like, bruh, like, you're actually probably the most problematic person in this because you left your son for 18 years, ignored him for 18 years, and this is the result of that. But he's the one that at the end, like, it's like, no, Blair Underwood, I love my son. It's like, bruh, like, yeah. But I don't know. I forgot what the original question was, but
no. So Malcolm's restarting his machine. So when he comes back, we transition.
Okay.
You know what? Did you have a favorite scene?
I mean, I just like memorable scenes for me was like, I was like, cool. They show like the cut to like little Jamie Kennedy or whatever, B-Rad, as he's like growing up. I did like, I think there was like a pool party or something like that. That was like a hip hop themed pool party. I know it's like, I guess for me, I was like, all right, let me get a sense of how he became who he came, right? But then it's just like more annoying because it's like, you came up with this genuine love of hip hop, but then
that was your takeaway. Like nothing about the struggle. You know what I mean?
Like, there's ways to love hip hop and see images of Black people all day and not come to this fucking shuck and jive it ass like caricature of Blackness that you are. Like, that makes it, it's like, dude, and no one ever calls him on it. And then he somehow gets Regina Hall at the end. I'm like, yo. And then, all right, so I guess the most annoying scene and the most annoying plot point to me is like, bro, like, you are the mayor's son, so you're already on the news, right? Like, people already know what your face is. You've embarrassed the mayor, right? So then he shoots up, like, he just sprays guns and he's like, King Kong got shit on me. And they put him on the news and they're like, mysterious man. And I'm like, but wait, we already know
that he's son.
A public figure. Like, it's very easy to put together who that is. And they just never follow up with it. And you're just like, so he just got away with like almost murdering people? And now he just gets. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna start my lady's like hair company and like win. And like everybody else is like they have bad outcomes. I don't even remember how it is. Like, it was not a happy outcome for anybody but him. And it's like, the moral of the story is, I'm a white man with lots of money. Like, and it wasn't trying to like, that wasn't social commentary. If the end of the story is white men can get away with anything, no matter how bad of human beings they are, no matter what they do, like if that was intentionality in that, then I'd be like, okay, cool. Like, this is, but that wasn't the intention, and that's just
hey, what you think, getting to walk away with. You think Donald Trump watched that before he decided to run for president?
I mean,
he was like, you know what? Bet I could go out on Sixth Avenue and do anything.
Right. And then it's like. It's like the lack of effort of even trying to show what actual Blackness is, right? Like, they're just, they weren't even like, well, here are some genuine representations of African-American or Black culture. Like, never even did that come up.
They were like 0 to 100.
Right.
They were like, you're an Ivy League thespian or you're a carjacker.
Like, bruh, I don't know, man. It's funny, like, Malcolm's episode, and he missing out on the conversation.
No, he back. He coming back.
Stroke the bear's fluffy tummy.
Well, I would say, I mean, honestly, my favorite scene was like that when Taye Diggs and Anthony Anderson get ready. I would say another one I just thought was, and I don't know his favorite, but it was just pretty silly. It's memorable when he kind of introduces you to all the crews and the mall. And it's just like, I would say problematic, but again, it's just a different time. It's like, yeah, this is the yellow guys. And these are the celebrities. These are guys that are beat up by celebrity kids and stuff. It was like all the different gangs in the mall. So
maybe I didn't describe that. At the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah. So. Yep. All right, now if I keep on making you go first, I can kind of start off, if you don't mind, in regards to favorite actor or a favorite or memorable performance. I want to say the obvious, but I'm going to really say Taye Diggs, because I would say sometimes, I mean, Taye Diggs can be humorous, but he's usually humorous in a different type of way. He'll be that, like, leading man. He's just usually not this broad. So Taye Diggs kind of caught me by surprise, and he made me laugh more and, like, more in the other stuff. So that was kind of like the performance that I wanted to kind of call out. I think that's what I'm gonna do the spotlight on.
Taye Diggs.
I think it kind of makes sense, right? I mean, it's either gonna be him or Anthony Anderson.
Or Blair Underwood.
Ooh, that would be kind of cool. I mean, any of y'all mess with
if you got enough screen time.
Any of y'all mess with Crush Groove?
Yeah, that's a bomb movie.
He pretty much plays like Russell Simmons in that, because Russell Simmons couldn't act.
Yep.
Thank you for coming out. God bless you. Good night. Right, you don't know about that. All right. Theo, do you have a performance or an actor that you want to call out?
Yeah, I mean, I was happy to see Mike Epps in it. That was cool. That was probably like the closest we got to seeing like just like a non caricature of a black person. Like,
bro, I honestly feel like at least 10 years, me and you've been talking about and hearing about a Mike Epps Richard Pryor biopic at least for 10 years. I don't think, have you ever heard about that or no?
I don't know if it's been 10 years, but I've definitely been hearing it because I know it was Marlon and then it went to Mike Epps. And then didn't Mike Epps play him inside of Game Time? Or was that?
Yeah, he did. I love it. He said, man, we got some cocaine and some white bitches.
Yeah. yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. It'll be cool whenever it comes out.
Who would you? All right, so if it's up to you, you got the final call. Well, I mean, you'd have to see him audition, but who do you think off the top of your head would be better as in Richard Pryor biopic, Mike Epps or Marlon?
You know, I would probably have to say Marlon just because I think that a real Richard Pryor movie would have to have like very dark dramatic scenes in it as well. I don't know enough of Mike Epps' dramatic acting experience to say that he'd be able to pull it off. But I feel like with Marlon Wayans, I know like he's a dope dramatic actor. So
it's pretty interesting. They both kind of play the same role. And Mike Epps, he's a dramatic bad guy in Sparkle. There's two different Sparkle movies, one that came out before we were born, the second one that came out with Whitney Houston, kind of came out like 2012 2013.
What?
Yeah, so Mike Epps is in that. He's a bad guy, and I think you and I talked about it, but in Respect, the Aretha Franklin movie starring Jennifer Hudson, Marlon Wayans, he's in that as well. And he kind of plays the same role as Mike Epps, which is like a mean boyfriend, husband.
Damn, now I want to see Sparkle. I'm trying to see this.
It's all right. It's okay.
Was this Whitney Houston's last like dramatic? Is it a musical?
Yeah. Mm. Giving him some, giving him something he can feel. That's like the song that they perform in there.
Nice. Yeah, I never saw a Sparkle.
All right. So Theo called out Mike Epps. I called out Tate Diggs. What about you, Mally?
Hey, so my standout actor is probably Damian Wayans, as I was saying before. He was cracking me up as Shonda's Regina Hall's ex-boyfriend Tech. I was really impressed by him, man. He's a funny ass dude. I mean,
I always thought he was funny. So did you see for a quick little hot minute when they had a show on BET?
Nah,
so show. Like him and another, like his brother or him and a cousin, they had a show on BET, and it was kind of like I think it was called like the Other Wayans Brothers or something like that.
What?
Yeah, I think it was when you were in college. I'm not sure. Wait, no, I don't think it was when you were in college, because that was when me and Rhonda were still living in Indianapolis. Were you in college when I was in business school?
Nah. Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. I think I might have been like in my first year.
Yeah, that sounds about
college.
Right.
That was like 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was like in my first year of college. Yep. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe he was busy doing that stuff. And I don't know if they had BET on the Lake Erie College dorm package.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know, man.
But
yeah,
he's super busy at that time because
cable television in a hot minute. So I'm going to have to check that out, though, to see if it's out anywhere. That sounds interesting. Yeah. I think it's also funny, dude's name's Damian or Damon Wayans. It's Damian Wayans, because you know the oldest brother or one of the older brothers named Damon. So I feel like they just started fucking running out of names.
There's an older brother named Damon.
I thought that was Damon.
Wayans, there is right? a Damon Wayans, but
yeah, the Damon, bald one, My Wife and Kids.
Damien isn't a brother of the Wayans. He's the
he's a cousin.
He's a nephew. So they have a sister named Elvira Wayans who isn't famous, and that's her son.
Oh, gotcha. she like the Rebe Jackson of the Jacksons.
Yeah, yeah. So he's not like one of the direct siblings. He's like their nephew.
Therefore, that's why his name is Damien, because he's like a slant.
Like a bootleg Damien. That's like if I named him Falcom. This is Falcom.
But you know, to your point earlier, Theo, and stuff, this being like a really, really extra dumb movie and stuff. Like, I could have seen like Regina Hall maybe trying to like plug in Marlon Wayans or Sean Wayans, and then they saw the plot and they're like, nah, dog, you straight. And then they're like, hey, this might be a good one for Damien.
Hey, I gotta be 100. That like really tracks, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like, so like, they have good with Damien. I let this roll.
That's my thing, is like. The fact that like did the Wayans other than Damien have anything to do with this movie?
No, but I did a little bit of research. Which, all right, actually, man, no, all right. So it was Miramax. So what I'm noticing is, Regina, when she first came in, you know, not studios, but I think she was working in a lot of Miramax movies, because yeah. I don't know if Whatchamacallit was Miramax as well, Best Man, but Scary Movie was Miramax as well too.
Hey, to go back to your point earlier about like them kind of like making the dad like a good guy and shit. I don't have y'all seen the new Jeffrey Dahmer show on Netflix?
Man, I watched half of it. I gotta be honest. Well, I'm about to tell Rhonda. I don't think I can.
Nicest, most best dad in the world. I'm like, bro. I mean, he must not have been. That like that much of an advocate for his son and doing all that. I mean, I'm sure he did some good stuff, but they just made him seem like the best dad in the world, and he just happened to have a bad son.
This is my first time seeing it. After that scene when they get on out at that campaign and do that dance, I didn't expect the dad to react the way that he did. He was just like, "Oh man, this is wild." Yeah. I was expecting him to be like, "Dude, what's up, man? You got to disappear." And I was expecting some really racist comments.
It was a good slogan, though.
I gotta see this movie. I don't know. I'm like on the fence. You feel 10 episodes. I like the actor that's playing Dahmer.
Bro, you shouldn't watch it, Theo. You get triggered. You should definitely not watch it.
I would get triggered? How would I get triggered?
Yeah. Bro, you're getting triggered by Malibu's Most Wanted. Like, this is some serious shit. And then it's about like how all this fucked up shit happened because
the
black and brown people, because you know white America was just taking the word for Jeffrey Dahmer, who was like already convicted criminal. Like, so it's just like how that shit happens over and over and over and over again throughout the show. Like, you would just
And didn't his next door neighbor Niecy Nash, who is acting in everything now, good for her.
Nash needs to get an Emmy or an award for this.
You think she will? You think she's gonna get like an Emmy or something for it?
Oh yeah, dude.
Good for her. You know, she's got like a show on network TV. It's kind of like called The Rookie Feds. So it's like, I loved her back when she was on Reno 911. I mean, I've seen it. I don't really watch it.
I like Claus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, the USA Network stuff, and so yeah, I like Carucci. I think she's cool.
I just want to go back because I am not triggered by Malibu's Most Wanted at all. Like, for me to not like a movie does not mean I'm triggered by it. I watch hella dark shit, so I would probably like that show. I just don't like shitty filmmaking. And that's like, it's like beyond me that you're defending Malibu's Most Wanted as like, oh, you got tricked. You didn't like it, so you must have been triggered. It's like,
hey, Malibu, you took shots at me first, bro. I'm so disappointed in you, Malcolm. What is wrong with you? But yeah, you should watch it. I mean, it is good. It's really good. This show is really well made. It's So, you know, you'd like it, I guess, you know.
Oh, from that point. Yeah, all right. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it though, just because like long. It's ten episodes. Limited?
I just watched it while I was working. You know what I mean? I just have that thing on the background. I'm not gonna just sit down and lock in, but I know some people like to do that.
Yeah.
It was a little too much for me, man.
It was heavy.
And me and Rhonda were talking about it too. This is kind of like, I remember that happening when it was like real life and stuff. And that was like when they reported it. So I don't say real life, but like it happened in 91. So I remember like in 1992, them being like, you know, talking about it. And that was in Milwaukee. So for the longest time, I was like, well, I guess I'm never going to Milwaukee. Because I just equated Milwaukee with Jeffrey Dahmer. All right. So back to the movie. Why don't we just kind of do our... our ratings on this, and I think we try to keep it pretty simple. Two thumbs up from each. Mally, you know, again, trying to start off with you, man. You give this one thumb up, two thumbs up, or two thumbs down?
I give it two thumbs up. I thought it was great. I watched it again and again. Anybody who hasn't seen it wants to watch it, I'll put it on, man. I don't know, I'll put it in the same boat as Don't Be a Menace and, you know, like,
yeah, it's a parody. Yeah, it's a parody.
Yeah. You know. And then I didn't really do a full recast, but if I did a recast of B-Rad, I'd make it Jack Harlow.
Oh!
I don't know how funny he is. I mean, Jamie Kennedy's not that funny.
Or like so. How, because like Jack Harlow does like, he speaks like a black dude, but like kind of believably, whereas like Jamie Kennedy, like, clearly talks like a parody of a black dude. So I'm just like, bruh, like.
So who I'd like to see, I didn't even think about it, but off the top of my head, I don't know if y'all saw a skit on Saturday Night Live, and I forgot who he did it with, but.
Andy Samberg?
No, not Andy Samberg, but it's kind of like him, but.
That would be a good recast too.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, actually, I think he's kind of done this movie. I mean, like, wait, Superstar? Yeah, so. with his group, I was gonna say the guy who's an actor. Dang it, who's the guy who's the main one in Dune? He's like the main actor.
Oh, Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet, yeah. So Timothy Chalamet did a skit on Saturday Night Live with Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson would probably be good at this too.
Yeah, but, right?
I don't know. Yeah, and they were kind of acting like this. They were like skit, or I don't know. So I don't know. I think Tim Chalamet could be pretty funny in this. Yeah. He's a good actor too. So. Yeah. All right, two thumbs up. I'm going to give it one thumb up because, and that one thumb up is this. I had low expectations. I did not take it seriously. And you know what, man? Like, the Taye Diggs and Anthony Anderson of it all. And then, oh, wait, you got Blair Underwood in this and Mike Epps? I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it and I had very low expectations. So I'm going to give it one thumbs up. Theo, what about you, brother?
All right. At the end of the day, I'm most passionate about how much I hate this film because I, above all other genres of film, love comedy. So for me to not fuck with something that's intentionally a comedy, like, nigga, like, I've rewatched Half-Baked a million times. I've rewatched The Anchorman. Like, it's like, dude, I have lower bars of expectation. But this movie was not funny. This shit is not funny. The main character is annoying. And there's never like good. Like, he finally learned a lesson.
I won't give you that. He was annoying, though.
And it was like, he would be sad. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Like, Snoop Dogg is in this shit, too. And I was like, that's fun. I forgot. That would probably be my favorite scene. It was like that. But I don't know. Two thumbs down. It's a trash comedy movie. If you want recommendations on comedy movies, I'll give you a whole list of them. This is a trash comedy movie that also just happens to also be very problematic and in a bad way for the culture.
Well, that's cool because, again, that's why we like to do this podcast. Not only, you know, hey, we're three brothers. We have a lot of similar views. All that being said, we don't have the same exact views, right? So we can come at a lot of movies and come up from different ways. And I think that's a great thing about this, as we have a lot of familiarity with each other and with each other's views. But I'm glad that we can come here and converse and be able to come from different perspectives. And actually, I just kind of really like that viewpoint summation is, Theo, I think you're coming at it from this is your craft and you're an artist and you look at it a different way. And I like that. But then I think Malcolm, you have that good point too as well is, you know, sometimes you just want to turn the brain off, right? Dad, and I know my wife, they really like the reality shows. And, you know, it's not really my cup of tea sometimes, but I think sometimes they just want to turn their brain off and not think about it too much and stuff, right? And I think when you turn the brain off, it you can get some good laughs. So with that, Stokely, any last words?
Stokely, say something.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Well, we're going to do a quick little break. And once we come back, we're going to have an interview with our friend of the pod, Whit Davis, and then do a focus on the spotlight. Thanks so much. Y'all say peace. Y'all say whatever.
Peace.
All right. Well, we are back and we have a very special guest. Whit, you know, you've been on the pod before. Welcome back. Why don't you do another maybe a quick introduction of yourself, Whit, and your podcast? And maybe we can go ahead and get to asking you some questions, if that's okay.
All right. Yeah, it's Whit is back. My Zoom says Lindley because I'm using my wife's computer, but it is Whit. But I have my own podcast with some buddies. It's called One Bourbon, One Movie, One Beer. And we always talk about a movie and we kind of review the movie a little bit. And we talk about whatever bourbon we're sipping on and whatever beer we're trying that night. And we just have a good time and we hit record and we go. And unfortunately, sometimes it's really long, but it's just an honest, like, it's the most honest type of show. Cause it's like, we don't have to follow anybody's rules. We just hit record and we have a movie that desperately tries to keep us on track and we just have fun with it. But yeah, it's really good to be back. I think I was on Four Brothers.
Yes.
The remix.
Yes. So Malcolm, this is your first time meeting Whit, right? And Theo actually met Whit because Theo recorded on a podcast with Whit when he came down here and visited. But Malcolm, something that Whit has in common with us is he actually also has two brothers as well. So,
oh shit.
Yeah. So it's him. It's like they got their three brothers. You know what I mean? And
what are the odds?
Yeah. It's us three brothers and stuff. So that's what, you know, they talk about movies and stuff. So it's not all three of on the brothers on the same podcast and stuff, but he does happen to have two other brothers, but it's him and his other buddies that record on the podcast.
Yeah. And I have had my other brothers on the podcast. They just haven't been on it together. That would be a like 5-hour episode because we wouldn't be able to share. But yeah, I'm the middle of three boys, so you know, I'm just kind of the peacekeeper and make everybody happy.
before we get into Malibu's Most Wanted, may I ask, is there a recent movie that you've seen that you would recommend, where that's something you've, you know, whether it's a new movie or something that's just maybe you just recently seen, whether it's an oldie but goodie, but anything
oldie but good. I mean, right now we're kind of in a Taika Waititi universe on our show. We've been doing a Hunt for the Wilder People, and nice. We did What We Do in the Shadows. But I've been trying to get us to do a Jojo Rabbit real bad.
Oh man,
it never gets pulled out of the hat. But I mean, it's a movie that I watch at least once a month, and it's a really good movie. And yeah, it's hilarious, it's but true. it's ultimately just a good movie, which is great. Yeah. So it's like I recommend that movie to everybody, and pretty much any of Taika's movies right now. That's yes, kind of the what I'm He's in. Like, I am watching Taika movies and like New Zealand humor and stuff like yep. that. So definitely anything related to that, but Jojo Rabbit especially, I think I've watched 3 or 4 times in the past month just that's for cool. fun.
Ooh, even, and it's got Scarlett Johansson in it.
Oh yeah, she's nice. Really good.
So are you familiar with Taika, any Malcolm, or like What We Do in the Shadows,
or nah,
Thor not Love and Thunder? So he's a director and from New Zealand, and yeah. I mean he's really successful. He's got a lot of different, I mean, not even like movies that he's directed, shows, stuff from New Zealand. Now I feel like he's even got some things on FX as well, right? So
yeah, he's supposed to be doing Star Wars. He's like helped out and I think he's produced a couple episodes of Mandalorian. He does a lot of voiceover stuff. He plays a robot in there. And I mean, his humor is like sometimes too much humor instead of being like the story you're trying to get to, because he's just like has so many jokes per minute. But yeah, I mean, he's everywhere. He's in Star Wars. He's done like Buzz Lightyear movie. He was in there. He's all over the place. He's hilarious.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he's real cool.
And he's incredibly talented writer. So
yep. Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be winning an Oscar one of these days.
Sounds like a beast.
He won. Yeah. He actually did win an Oscar already for Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, for real? Already?
Okay. He won for I think the adapted screenplay.
Okay, yeah. Then well, there we go. Well, maybe get back to it a little bit. We one of the reasons, amongst others, why we had you on here is in this episode we've been reviewing Malibu's Most Wanted, and it was actually my first time seeing it ever for this podcast. And it was one of Malcolm's favorite movies, and Whit, I knew it was also maybe one of your not I want to say favorite, but it was also, you said, a movie that you've really enjoyed. So I didn't know if you could maybe just kind of tell us about, if you could remember maybe what was your first experience watching this, or some of your kind of your first thoughts or memories of this.
Oh, yeah.
What made you originally kind of like it?
So I am actually like a really big country fan when it comes to music and stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm like just like a country boy. But my younger brother is very much into like hip hop, rap, and mm-hmm. just he loved this movie. Like he probably and I always used to get this banger. One. I used to always get this one semi confused with Kicking It Old School. Because, like people were like, I was like, yeah, wait, yeah, I've seen, like, because he used to love those two movies, like Kicking It Old School, mm-hmm. That Was Most Wanted. And I remember just watching it in our parents' basement on like HBO or something like that, and just laughing our asses off. And just like just sitting there going, like, this movie can't get more ridiculous than it already is. And then it just like keeps getting crazier. Yeah. And then like it gets to the point where
it's like a mob boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like then it's gonna level out and it's like, no, it's gonna just keep going. And you're like, okay. But yeah, I do remember watching it like multiple times, and like maybe even like coming in and out of it, and like he was watching it again, or like maybe he was watching it Kicking Old School and I kept blending them, because I think Jamie Kennedy is in both. Yeah,
Jamie Kennedy is the main character in both.
Yeah. So like, I think that's why I blend it, because I'm like, wait, are you watching this again? It's like, no, this is a different one, you know. So but yeah, those two movies especially, like they're hilarious. And it's one of those when it's on, you're like, I gotta see what part it's in. And then you just keep watching it, because it's like I can't stop laughing at how ridiculous this is. So first impression was just hilarious. I think I was in high school or something like that, watching on HBO.
Yeah. Like, so with that,
HBO Max right now.
Yeah, that's what I watched it on recently.
So were there any, dare I say, scenes in particular that you kind of like stand out to you the most, or that you like, or any performances that you like the most?
This is where I really like noticed Nick Swardson. I think that's like Nick Swardson.
Oh yeah.
For the first time. And it was just like, I had seen him in this little small part, you know? And then I was like, man, that his crew is hilarious. But like, really just like every single time that he had like a little one-liner, cause I had also seen him in a few other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, he ended up being like Adam Sandler's sidekick for like,
oh yeah. 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 Like, cause like he kind of not necessarily exploded after this, but he really did go on to have like Grandma's Boy. And
yeah. You see him
Grandma's Boy every year. Miller.
And then he would very like, underrated. Grandma's Boy is one where he was like a little bit more of his own fleshed out character. Mm-hmm. But then he also had stuff like Blades of Glory, where he was like an important character, but he wasn't necessarily like fleshed out necessarily. And
yeah, he has just those,
like, yeah. But in this movie, he's very much just like, I'm just here to do bits at times, you know? So like that was one where I connected the dots with like, oh, that's that guy from that other movie, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously Jamie Kennedy was like, I loved his stuff, cause he was just hilarious in those two movies that I kept seeing him in. And then it became a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to check out pretty much anything that he is helping write or direct.
So did you first experience Jamie Kennedy from these movies or from Scream, or you can't remember?
It was from these. We weren't like, you said Scream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't really
like big horror. Yeah. Okay.
We weren't big on horror. Like, I was a wuss when I was little.
Hey, man, me too.
It was like my parents, it's actually my younger brother who loves this movie, was watching like Poltergeist with my dad.
Bruh.
And I walked into the room.
I still don't mess up Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Man.
I walk in the room. Yeah, I'm like, what are you guys watching? And as I look up, like the guy's face is melting off. I was like, I'm scared. Feel
like there's like a curse of like, not everybody in that movie, but a lot of people in that movie.
Yeah. It's a cursed movie. But yeah, it's like, I was always like, just the, like, I'm scared of this. I don't want to do anything. Like, I don't want to watch scary movies. But then after I had seen this movie is when I started to actually like appreciate horror. Mm-hmm. But I didn't connect that Jamie Kennedy was in that when I initially watched that.
Yeah, that was my first introduction to Jamie Kennedy. But then I feel like then he had the Jamie Kennedy show and then these and stuff. So,
mm-hmm. This was definitely my first introduction to that. And then I don't know how many times I've seen this movie, but it's one of those that feels like it was on in the background all the time too, where it's just like, yeah, I know there's like 100 times
in the HBO rotation
that I have seen this intro or that I've seen the whole like Snoop Dogg as the, what was he, like Remy the Rat or something like that. Just like, what is this movie? Oh, okay. Yeah. It's, I got you. But yeah.
So we try to do this kind of random question, but I don't know if you've given any thought, but let's say, you know, they bring the gang back and the sequel set in 2023. Malcolm, I want to put you on the spot too, man, about this, but yeah. Whit, did you have any kind of a pitch or an idea? What would you like to see, like, what would be a sequel to this if it's set in 2023?
Well, when you sent me that, I was like, that's interesting because it's one of those movies that doesn't need a sequel. It's definitely just like, it could be its own thing, but I could see it getting a sequel, and I could tell you what I wouldn't want them to do. I wouldn't want them to just flip it and then have it be like, okay, now he has a son. And
it's not creative,
you know, and it's not creative, but I could see them doing that where it's like he has a son, and then the son is actually like trying to be extra white or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then,
yeah.
You know, I was like, that is definitely like kind of like Coming to America 2, where it's like,
oh yeah,
it's like, okay, like you did this thing where he had daughters, but he had changed the rules when he was in the first movie, and now it just doesn't make sense because you're trying to just redo this from a different angle. So yeah. I could see them like being like, oh, this was a hit, so let's just redo it.
And I hate it when they do that, because you could tell somebody like in an office studio exec office being like, man, this is a good idea, but then like when it's actually like filmed, you're like,
but I think if they did do a sequel, the best way to do it to not fall into that trap would be to have him suddenly be the person that's running for office, and then and like following his dad's footsteps or whatever, but he hasn't changed a bit, so he still is that exact same character.
Okay, focusing on that then. Okay,
yeah. All right. Like, focus on like the whole tour of him like going through and like
and he's just going like all across America, and he's still like not getting it, because that's one thing I feel like that was kind of cool about the movie is like consistently throughout the entire movie he never like got it. He was just like, no, it's just
this is me. I'm just I'm not gonna change anything. And like that's kind of if I was going to say we should sequelize this, it'd be like, let's just keep it like keep true to it, where he is 100% just this character that's like,
I mean, that's kind of
you're not
legit
gonna change me
to say that he could actually run for governor of California. I mean, I could see that
or Colorado. It would have to be something small. Maybe it was like he was like trying to become the principal of the school or something like that his kid goes to. But like just something where he's trying to like run for an office or try to get elected to some board or something would be really hilarious.
Yeah, school board. Yeah. What about you, Mally? Would you have like any pitch for a sequel?
Yeah, well, I think I'm the lame like executive, because I put a little bit of thought in this question and I fell into the trap. So I'm just gonna preface my plot with that. My sequel would be, you know, B-Rad's like running his own record label now. And now this time it's set in like the Hamptons instead of Malibu. And then like B-Rad, you know, he's middle-aged, he has a son, and his son is socially awkward and lame. And so B-Rad's like trying to help bring him out of his shell so that like he can one day feel comfortable like handing over the record label to him. And then, yeah, the my film name would be for the sequel, Hampton's Public Enemy Number One.
Oh, I didn't even think of a title. Maybe it's just like Back to the Boo or something like that. But like what you were saying, it would almost be like a new guy, like when the kid goes to a different school and he tries to totally change his entire persona. Yeah.
I like that. I like that title switch because you're going Malibu to Hamptons and stuff, and that's pretty cool.
Instead of most wanted,
public enemy. Yeah, all right. I dig it, guys. Well, so I'm glad we were able to get you on here too, because you know, someone who listened to this entire episode could tell that my other brother Theo was not a fan of this movie.
Yeah, he was being a fucking hater. We brought you on with to lighten up the mood a little bit.
I mean, it's cool to get opposing views on this.
It's one of those movies where you're like, if you're gonna break it down, like, no, it's, like,
that's what he was doing.
Like,
was
you can't be like, well. In the world of cinema, you know, it's not an A. It's not an A. But it is like if you're just going in for laughs and you know that's what you're going in for, you know, it's so good. Like,
yeah, it's a dank movie.
And everybody falls into a stereotype perfectly. It's just like, it's like, did you just bring a rocket launcher? It's like, yeah, it came from my uncle for Christmas. And like Nick Swardson shows up with like a musket and stuff, like at the shoot up, because like he's like, of course he would, because he's just like this dweeby guy that like nobody cares. And then like all the art, like just so many funny things that call back, and like like all those things like that just keep layering on top of each other is hilarious.
It's kind of like Diggs and Anthony Anderson, you know, them as a pair, they were fucking cracking.
Yeah, they cracked.
I wish I would have saw them as a duo on more shit after this.
Oh yeah, like he's like, I went to Juilliard. Like, I am an actor. I wish I could use proper grammar. It's just, it's so good. It's like, and then when they try and use the exact same speech, like the senator's like using his speech from the basketball gangster video or whatever. And like, they're like, let's just be like brothers. And they're like, and then Tay is like nodding along, like, dude, like, that's exactly what he said in our video. And they respond like exactly the way we did. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, bullshit. No, it's like, oh, okay. So we were wrong. Just everything just keeps unraveling. That's like one of those moments where you're like, oh, okay. Like somehow this is going to work. And then it's just like the actual people are sitting there like, this is a bunch of bullshit. Like, like we have real guns and stuff. Like you guys have lost at this point. Like, and then somehow they get out of it in a ridiculous way. So like, if just go into this movie and get ready to laugh, it's like an Anchorman type of movie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah. Like in regards to the absurdity of it all. Yeah,
it is.
And then they just keep on going on top of like you know, no, you think that this is absurd? All right, hold my beer.
Yeah. Hold my beer.
So before we kind of close it on out, you know, speaking of beer, right? What are you sipping on? You mind sharing with us?
I've got bourbon tonight. It's a Stellum Rye. We did a regular Stellum on our podcast, and Ryan had brought it, and he was like, I recommend this like whole label. They have like three or four different colors. So like the blue labels, they're regular. The black labels, like they're double. And then the green is the rye. So I'm sipping on a rye Stellum tonight. And it's quite tasty.
I haven't quite introduced my little brother to a whiskey yet. I think he drinks some, but he's up there in Colorado and he was introducing me to a lot of different beers. What's that beer that we really enjoyed, Malcolm? That was it, Tangerine Cream?
Or yeah, Tangerine Cream Ale? Dude. That shit was so good.
Yeah,
they got lots of good beer over there.
Malcolm,
I mean, they got like Coors Light and Coors, you know.
Every time somebody comes into town, they're like, what beer do you recommend? I'm like, Coors is fucking bomb, dude. Try it.
Like, go get it off the line. It's great.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're glad that we were able to get you back on. As I showed you in that text from my mom, she's a big fan of you. So
I was kind of expecting her to do like a cameo on here and like just pop in. I guess that'll be the next episode.
Yeah. Next episode. So Until next time, fellas, and we appreciate you being back on, man. And hey, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, later. It was fun.
Thank y'all.
These bad boys down.
This is exactly what we ordered, huh?
Oh yeah, man. They got the Glocks, man. They got the Tech Nines. They got the Uzis. Freeze, sucker!
That's convincing, brother. That's
look, your face.
Wow, what the hell is that? What's going on with your hair?
Yeah. Check it out, man. My hair. Shonda just did it for me.
Yeah, I see. I see that.
Huh. You hate it, don't you?
No, I don't hate it. It's just that I thought my character was gonna have the corn rolls, and that's all.
Okay, I see what it is. You're just jealous. You're just jealous because you didn't think of it first, huh?
Friggin' A, I'm not jealous, all right? I'm an actor, and I would have... You're freaking whack, and don't diss me!
Okay, welcome back. So, as we mentioned, at this point of the episode, this is where we like to take a deep dive and to discuss entry points into the career for people of color, and we like to take a deep dive onto certain people's careers. On this episode, we will be taking a deep dive into Taye Diggs' career. Just a quick overview of his background and biographical information. Taye Diggs was born January 2nd, 1979 in Newark, New Jersey, but he grew up in Rochester, New York, where is actually the city where me and Theo were both born. His parents are Marsha Berry, who is a teacher and an actress, and Andre Young, who is a visual artist. His mother married Jeffrey Diggs when he was a child, so that's who he took his surname Taye from. He is the oldest of five children. He has two brothers and two sisters. He also attended the Allendale Columbia School in Rochester and later transferred to the School of Arts. And he received a Bachelor of Fine Arts from Syracuse University. So again, upstate New York brother. He is divorced from his ex-wife, Adina Menzel. They have one son with each other, Walker Nathaniel Diggs. Okay, so how did Taye Diggs get into the entertainment industry? Looks like it was a theater. So he started performing at the Lake Region Summer Theater in Meredith, New Hampshire. So... New England Theater. Then he also spent the summer of 1992 at the New London Barn Playhouse in New London, New Hampshire. So, again, some more New England theater. His Broadway debut was in 1994 on the Tony Award-winning revival of Carousel. And in 1995, he also performed as a dancer in Sebastian's Caribbean Carnival of Tokyo Disneyland. In 1996, he started to get his big break in the role of Benny in the Tony and Pulitzer Award-winning play Rent, which also starred his future wife, Idina Menzel. Diggs then moved from stage to television with a role on the soap opera Guiding Light. So that was his first television role. And then he made his film debut role in 1998. And how Stella got her groove back. So, man, just kind of a quick rip on his highlights. Taye Diggs, man, he was one of the biggest African-American black stars in the U.S. in the late 90s, early 2000s. Again, he started off with How Stella Got Her Groove Back. Then Go, The Wood, The Best Man, which we've covered on this podcast. Then he starred in The House on Haunted Hill. Brown Sugar, which I imagine we may cover on this podcast at some point in the future. Chicago, Malibu's Most Wanted, of course. The film revival of Rent. And he was the film narrator of the Fab Five documentary. And he was most recently in The Best Man Holiday, is kind of one of his larger films. As of recent, though, over the past decade, he's kind of made more of a presence inside of TV, inside of television. But he did start out on television in the 90s. And originally in New York Undercover, Law and Order, Guiding Light, Ally McBeal, The West Wing, Kevin Hill, Will and Grace, Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice, Murder in the First, Empire. He's currently starring in All American. He was in the revival of Rent Live. He's most recently in Best Man, The Final Chapters. Back in, and he's in Back in the Groove. I'm not really familiar. Oh, wait. I think that Back in the Groove is a reality television show that he's got going on. So the brother is still presently very active. Again, originally one of the largest black stars in film, but now he's still very active in television. And again, it seems like what I'm starting to notice as a theme is he got his break starting out in theater, which I'm starting to notice is a theme of how a lot of people break into their entry point into the entertainment industry. Theater seems to have a lot of opportunities there. In future opportunities, you know, I did a high-level review of his IMDb, and I see he has While You Were Dancing and The Pit. So couldn't really get too much information on those. Not sure what those have in store. But again, look like the brother is presently active and he's got a lot of stuff in the future. So love to see him still working active, and I really appreciate his work. So that is, I think, all that we have to cover today. So with that, we will try to wrap it on up, and we hope that you come back to listen to us again in the future. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.